September 12, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. We're getting towards the middle of September time. It's flying. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto. Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still in quarantino mode. But I am not man alone because of those geniuses in Estonia with their Skype software. I got Mr. Fnu. Fnu Clone. Fnu Ronnie's. A beautiful man. We started the show off with I Never Knew from Kenny Burnell, John Coltrane. This is kind of rare because John Coltrane usually didn't record with guitars, but he did with Kenny Burrell. They made a whole album. In fact, I went and saw Kenny Burrell.
I did not know that. I didn't know he ever used guitars.
There's our guest, people. You can hear. I'm not man alone from the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Watch for Life from the New Ronnie's, and this is like early on. But I want to go before that, Jim. What about your earliest musical recollection?
Okay, so just a quick update. It's New Clone now. It was New Ronnie's. That's a defunct outfit that was based in Philly. And then I moved out here, and then it just morphed into New Clone. So you're asking me
way back.
Well, I was just thinking about that this morning because someone posted an article about if the original drummer was Chevy Chase for Steely Dan. And because I made a post about that and people were like, nope, you're wrong. I was like, what? I always thought Steely Dan. Because he used to be in a band called Ultimate Spinach out of Boston before that. So it started to make me think of like, wow, what were my first memories about music and all that, and what made me come to love and just have a lifelong pursuit of music. And I was thinking how I was in a car with my mom and dad, and I had to be like 3 or 4 years old. And one of the first songs I remember is Do It Again by Steely Dan.
First album.
Jack, Do It Again. And every time I hear it now, it just kind of throws me back there, but it's kind of a mind trip, surreal, because of the lyrics saying backtrack, do it again as well on top of that. So it's kind of a meta reference there. But that singing to my kindergarten teacher, I used to supposedly sing Fat Domino songs to her.
You know what I just discovered about Fats Domino?
What?
There was another rock and roller that did a pun on his name.
Huh.
Chubby Checkers.
Yeah, and he was from the Philly area.
Yeah, but I never realized that he was making fun of the other dude's name.
No, I didn't know that either.
See, somebody once told me. In fact, there was a band in the city called Black Humor. And they had this song called Hippies in Black Leather Jackets. And there was a line in it that said, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
And that was Black Humor.
Yeah, it was funny. They went to thrift stores and shit and got all these soul records and just spray painted their own name on the cover.
Wait, I think I know who you mean.
This is from the early 80s, right?
Yeah.
It's an incredible record. I mean, it's kind of on a throb and gristle, kind of a pasted together smegma kind of thing.
Yeah. My a friend of mine just gifted me that record from his store. He works, shout out to Rob. He works at 1234 Go, who I'm in a band with. I do another band called Musk.
Okay, because that's a really rare record. There wasn't that many.
Yeah, he gave me that, and I was like, wait, Black Humor. They have some San Francisco history to them too, I think.
No, that's where they're from.
Yeah. It's he gave it to me. He was like, Jim, you're gonna love this.
It was maybe about six months ago.
It totally went over my head because I'm fairly familiar with like some unheard, you know, stuff like that from the 80s and all, DIY hardcore punk scene, but it's like really arty and collagey.
Yeah, but Jim, that's a problem. That's the problem. When people think of punk, they think of guitar music played real fast. When actually, in the days of the movement, especially 70s punk, it was any fucking thing. There was a band from the city called No Mercy with H, you know, N-O-H, like the Japanese opera.
It was slightly vague. I mean,
okay, it was just a drummer. It was just a drummer, two ladies, a drummer and a singer.
Right. Well, look at Suicide.
Same thing. Right.
Yeah.
So this idea that punk was just fast guitar music, teenagers in the suburbs, that's hardcore. Yeah. You're right. It's a little later in the 80s.
Yeah.
But in the 70s, it was anything goes.
Yeah.
So you're in the car here in Steely Dan. By the way, Donald Fagen, Walter Becker, I do think shared one semester at Bard with Chevy Chase.
Yes, that's where I got it wrong. It was just kind of this urban myth that got spread around that I
because they sing about true. It. They sing about it in fucking My Old School. If gladiolas are growing outside your door, that'll be the day I go back to Annandale. And Annandale's a town right near Bard.
Okay.
I'm not that big of a Chevy Chase fan, so I don't know the fuck about him.
Well, yeah. Have you heard of Wolf Eyes and Zane Shani, who does these funny ass memes on Instagram? Well, he uses Bard as a reference. I'm just thinking
that. No, but I played that school in the Minutemen twice. In fact, there's a famous MTV interview done right outside.
D Boone giving a lecture on a
blackboard, but Super 8, so there's no audio. That's not the MTV part. But let's get back to you. Now, this car you're driving around with your folks here in the Dan, this is in Boston area?
No, Philly.
Philly area.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. John Coltrane bought his first house here on 33rd Street. I take always my bands there to go see it.
Yeah. I still live.
By the zoo.
I still live not too... In my 20s, I lived not far from there.
What was the pad called? The North Star Bar.
North Star Bar, yeah.
Right.
That I used to live 3-4 blocks from there.
Okay, so the pad...
By the Art Museum.
Yeah, they had... where you sat at the bar, they had a trough for pissing, so you didn't have to get up. I don't think it was used. It was inactive, but...
I don't remember if it was there when I was there.
They might have. Watt remembers shit like that. A lot of them in Tijuana, but there was one there at the North Star. I heard they're going to reopen soon. Anyway, getting back to your story. In the pad you grew up, was there any musical instruments?
Say again? Can you ask that question again?
The pad you grew up, was there any instruments? Were your parents players?
Were my parents? Not really. I mean, my mom played a little of piano.
So there was a
when
piano.
When she was a child. But there wasn't any musical instruments laying around, per se. Other than over at my grandfather's house, there was a bunch of instruments that no one really played that were laying around. Like, there was a piano there. I think accordion, there is my uncle's trumpet over there, bunch of guitars, just acoustic guitars, but like folk parlor type of guitars, if you know what I mean by that. And I think by 12 years old, I originally wanted to play drums, but
why?
My parents,
why?
I don't know.
That's fair enough.
But music just hit me right away at 5, 4, 5, 6 years old. And I, you know, this was still in the 70s and going into the 80s. So everything you heard on the radio at that time, it was just, everything was great. Everything was so good. And I liked everything pretty much, styles. But then I started gravitating towards the heavier stuff, towards like Black Sabbath and AC/DC, like 8, 9 years old. And then my cousin and I would listen to Ozzy records and Black Sabbath records and put models together.
What was the first record you bought yourself?
I used to tape stuff off the radio and make comp tapes at like 8, 7 years old.
But I'm talking about something that you would spend your own money on.
I'm trying to think what the first record, I don't even remember the first record. I remember lots of tapes, cassette tapes.
See, if you're going to spend your own money, I think you'd have to be kind of way into it when you're a kid, right?
Well, my parents had records laying around in the basement.
You can't remember the first record you bought.
I can't remember.
Okay,
that's
good. That's okay. It's okay.
I used to spin their records because I used to have records growing up as a kid where I had like a kid's records and then my parents' 45, 7 inches, I used to spin them. And then they had like all the classic rock from the late 60s, early 70s, like fucking Doors, Beatles, Rolling Stones, CCR.
I know. I can believe that.
All that.
And that helped educate and inform.
And that was just kind of laying around. And then by the time I was like 12 or 13, I was starting to I think buy records or tape more. It was all cassette tapes, and I didn't.
Okay, really, what's the first cassette? What was the first cassette tape you bought?
I think it was, don't let, this is embarrassing, but it was a Styx tape.
Oh, that's all right. I don't like them.
It's not punk. It's not punk or cool in the scene, yo. It wasn't until I was 12 years old,
yeah,
and
I hated
in the Dial, and I heard Black Flag on the radio, and I was like, wait, what's that? And it wasn't until like a year or two later that I started, like, my neighbor and I, we would just, you know, geek out and go to record stores or whatever and buy records or tapes. And
I had a landlord that loved
it. That's when I started getting, it was like metal and punk. I was like really stuck. And some rap, too. I was getting into like 12, 13, 14.
What's the first gig you went to? What's the first gig you went to?
Gig. Might have been like it was some thrash metal band from New Jersey called Faith or Fear.
All
right. And saw them at Bonnie's, this club called Bonnie's in the Styx. And if, I don't know if you ever heard of like there's Set of Woods over there. I'm trying to think what they are called now. They'll come to me. But yeah, that was the first gig.
And what about at school?
14 or 15.
What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
School was horrible. High school was a joke. I feel like I just walked around.
No, I'm talking about music-wise. Music-wise.
Well, I'm leading that. There was only one or two classes that I would actually pay attention to and be able to focus, and one was a graphic arts. And then it was elective classes that I could take, and we also had a guitar class. And so I started playing guitar, like, 15, really. Before that, I lifted, or from, not lifted, gifted, guitar from my grandfather's house, and I just took that home and tried to learn at like 14. And then at high school, there was guitar class, so I would take guitar classes and learn sheet music type of, like, or fake book type of songs. You know, it could be like Crosby, Nils, and Stash, Nash songs, and anything that they had would show chord structures and melodies and how to play. And then by that time, I was starting to take guitar lessons. And I gravitated, you know, after not being able to get drums at like 10 or 11, I just over to guitar, and I was really immersed in playing as much guitar and learning as much music through the guitar. And with lessons, I ran the gamut of, you know, under learning how to read, all type, you know, any scale, possible, and trying to get into theory and Mel Bay, you know about Mel Bay, you know,
of course,
those books.
Also the Alfred's guitar method.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, I went through all that. And then I started taking some classical guitar lessons as well. And
but they also taught you in school. That's interesting, because a lot of schools, you did marching band shit, not really guitar.
Well, they had marching band, but I was a fucking Terry the Punch Bowl. I didn't fit into anything.
Like me.
And I didn't fit into anything. I couldn't fit into theater. I couldn't fit in with jocks. I was able to get along with each one person in each clique, you know, and get along with everybody. But I was just a fucking Terry the Punch Bowl and a wallflower. And I was just floating through the hallways, just waiting to get to the next class to take the bathroom pass so I can just roam and get out of there.
Get the fuck out of Dodge, right?
Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I want to play.
I spent like two, three. Go ahead.
I want to play Cut to Ribbons, New Ronnie's.
Let's go. This day is hesh. Broken bottles inside, strewn with rhymes of love, and shattered shells of soul. Dust of other day, crumpled hours of devotion, washed down gutter streams to sink within the tide. Dust of love's sweetest bride, hateful fingers strangle joy, self-made love as bare as bone, dropped down to dusty morning. 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 Dusty morning. Dropped down to dusty morning. Dropped down to dusty morning.
かりと立てで収まる色ガラス窓べりで右に左と目の点をガラス越し向こうも寒いかまだ追う目のピンポンガラスは割れても透けている水の奇跡ガラスの奇跡の飾り窓アイステイ
I stand perfectly still in the classroom corner, wearing a paper dunce cap while balancing on one leg. A memory, knocking a pitcher of water off the countertop just to watch it shatter. Tonight, I hear the fireworks outside, crackling the stillness inside. A thought, the story of a girl who had tumbled into a cave and crawled her way out and up. Alive and quiet, I wear a red cloak to the 4th of July picnic. I stand still beside a pine tree. 3 drops of sap land on my cheek. Focus my eye on a cave swallow until the fireworks end.
From Pedro Show, that was New Ronnie's with Cut to Ribbons to start that off. Then we had Wild Rats doing Smoke. That's a proj Thurston, Steve Shell, and myself did with Ron Ashton for a movie called Velvet Goldmine in 1997.
Oh, wait, wasn't that like in 96 or 97?
You're right, 1997.
Okay.
And there was a whole bunch of
Wasn't Iggy involved at some point with that?
No, it was a guy who kind of played a character that was kind of Kurt Cobain, kind of Ig. And then another guy played a dude that was kind of like Bowie.
Oh, okay.
It was trippy. Todd Haynes did it. Mike Stott produced it. But anyway, there was a lot of outtakes, so I've been playing that stuff on the show. Then we had Silver Apples with Dust. We lost Brother Simeon. Simeon Cox, Silver Apples. Yeah, great man ahead of his time, in his time. Incredible cat. Knoxville.
I saw him. I saw him play once, man. It was good. Yeah. Just him by himself. He fucking killed it.
Yeah. Bitch, and he kept going. You know, he was in that car wreck and shit and just kept charging up.
Yeah.
A guy by voices after that, The Stars Behind Us. Few with Aqua from her first record. Black Lodge out of England with Willowbridge. His Name Is Alive, brand new, Guitar and Mirage. Well, maybe it's a couple months. And Amashi.
They're still kicking? His Name Is Alive is still kicking?
Different forms. He's been taking a lot of tapes, because he made cassettes when he was younger, and he's been redoing those things. Yeah, like remixing them and shit, repurposing them. Amashi Nguyen after that was still, she's a poet. She used to be in the SoCal scene in the 70s and 80s here. And now she lives up in the city, East Bay. And this was her reading last month. And then finally, FNU Clone Incorporated with Entropic Pop Games. So what happened after high school? Well, let me ask you this, Jim. Did you do the thing like after school where you got a garage band, a basement band, a cellar, you know, bedroom band?
No.
You never did that.
Okay. I would go to shows. My neighbors and I, we'd hang out, go to shows, but playing in any bands, it wasn't until maybe in my early, way out of high school. My neighbor, I know he played bass and I played guitar, but we never put a band together. It wasn't until I started going to community college in Philly, and then I met some people, and then that's where I started to put bands together
What was the first trip?
In the 90s.
What was the first music trip for you?
My first band?
Or whatever, Proj, collaboration?
It was actually an apartment that I lived in, I was in the basement. We had what was called Maurice Cheeks, which was a basketball player.
Sure,
for the 76ers.
I remember
Mo Cheeks.
Yeah,
and so like that, we were just goofing on a name, and then it merged into Wing Men Hug. It was just first the two of us, and then that was in a basement.
I'm curious.
In Philly, it was great because like. You can move into a house for pretty cheap back then and have, you know, some roommates and then have a basement and then wouldn't have to get a practice space. So I did that for a bit. And then
what was the material? Was the material original or did you copy stuff off records?
Always made original material. Never.
Oh, great.
Never did any covers really at that time, except for, I'm trying to think, the first few Ronnie's set, the first couple of shows we did a Red Cross cover band because we thought it was funny that the song's called Cover Band,
right.
Covering the song, but that's the only cover song that we, and then later on
it goes good with that one Standing in Front of Poser.
What's that?
Cover bands. I remember Annette Got the Hits, Standing in Front of Poser, and Cover Bands.
Yeah.
And some of them ended up Circle Jerk songs with different words.
I thought, you know, I was just, for the first time, I finally watched the Circle Jerks documentary, and I was listening to Keith talk about that, his theft of songs, and like, hey, this is fucking mine, and I'm gonna change. And look at what old blues standards, how they would kind of. That was my first thought that gave him like artistic license in my mind. You know, as he was talking, I'm like, yeah, dude, do it.
But was it just to every guy
appropriate and reappropriate and make it your own, even though it's partly your own anyway?
Every guy in the band, whatever band they were in before, they took a song from the old band and brought it to the Circle Jerks.
Yeah, and it, maybe that was overcoming his.
But it wasn't just Keith. It was Greg.
Anxiety about coming up with material. I don't know.
But it wasn't just Keith. It was Greg. It was Roger. It was maybe Lucky didn't do it.
Yeah.
You're right. But I think Led Zeppelin is getting taken to court again over this Stairway to Heaven thing.
Well, that's another bad. I mean, he ripped off Willie Dixon pretty hard.
Well, they ended up having to pay him though.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, brother. That's good. Brother Matt met Willie Dixon. He said he opened up a drawer. He said, "I got 200 songs in here I never recorded." Took them to his house.
Holy.
Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 12th, 2020 edition Watt for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. September 12, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
My sails are full of holes. The wind just blows right through. That's why I'm out here on the ocean instead of where I need to get to. If you dance on my SOS, honey, I sure be glad to see you. The North Star up above, I know which way to go. Harbor my ship dead in the water, I need a little help, you know. I don't know what else I can say, except for honey, I need you so. My soul is.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the second hour. New Clone Incorporated, Ghost Baby Ghost. Then Sam Bennett in Tokyo with SOS. Bertram Turetsky and Damon Smith, both on the stand-up bass doing Chakravin. That's a name. Chrome. That's a band from the city, old days. Sound and Light. It's a Helios Creed. I think he's going through some medical stuff right now. Wharton Tears out of New York City. Used to record early Sonic Youth, Primary Wave, and finally Gone from New Clone Incorporated. So tell me about the first new Ronnie's gig there, Jim.
That was a muscle factory type of gym. For some reason, we knew someone that was either working there or they knew someone else that worked there, and they invited us to set up and play, and that was our first show. The three of us at the time, and it was like an open door that opened up onto the street. And so here in the background, it's just exercise equipment, and we play a set, maybe like 15 minutes. One song that I had floating around that started the Freeman Ronnie's, because it started as a kind of a living room 4-track project. And that was the first gig. Was at a muscle factory type of gym, whatever you want to call it. And Ronnie started out. A friend of mine that I was working with at the time, Richie, who runs Richie Records, who's a drummer for Clock Cleaner, and does Watery Love and other stuff. We were working, and I had a bunch of songs I had on a CDR, and we were in a truck, and I popped it in. He wanted to listen to it, and he was like, "Wow, this is really good. I'll tell you what, since if you get a band together, if you get a couple other dudes to back you, I'll put this out on my label." I was like, "All right." So he took me up on that, and that's how Funerani's really kind of catapulted from there.
Now that stuff he heard, was that just you on the tape?
Which one?
That you played in the truck.
Yeah, it was just me. Like Watchful Eye was one of the songs at the time, and I had that floating around for about a year. I was just on a 4-track, and then I finished it about a year later, but I started off. I was in another band called The High Tops, and it was all right. It was kind of mediocre to me. And every time I'd come home from practice, I would just still want to, create, make songs. And I would just get frustrated at practice and just get home and like, all right, I'm just going to still, work on shit. And then that's when the first kind of Funerani stuff evolved from Watchful Eye. There's another song called Meat, which is off the first 7-inch that was on Richie Records. And so, yeah, that was pretty much the start of that. And the name came from, we had different names at the time. One was like stupid ass names before we settled on a name. I hate band names as it is. So, trying to come up with them. And we were about to play a show and they needed a name. And we were just like, where are we going to go under? What moniker are we going to be tonight? It was like stupid ass shit, like Freedom Fries or D's Nuts. Dumbass shit. So I looked at the side of an amp that we were using in the basement, and there was a bike messenger sticker with a dude's carrier's face, and then next to it had a name that was written in that said FNU Ronnie, and that was what he used as a tag to put on his shirt or whatever to get through skyscraper downtown buildings. And we didn't even know who he was, but the sticker was on the amp, and I just looked at the side of the amp. I was like, that's our name, and it just stuck. And I didn't even know what FNU meant at that point. And I looked it up, and it all kind of morphed from there and made a myth out of that. What's that mean?
It's police first talk. Name for,
yeah, first but name I look unknown. At it, like it, but it's more Nord, Nord kind of the invisible, the ineffable.
Right, that's right. Part of the brainwash. Look, I want to play the shit, okay?
I'm just delivering you the good. and I ventilate with prejudice. I save them with a drown. I save them with a drown. Great castle, motherfucker, ain't no murder needs a count. Treasonous activity, I put you in a locker. Got an eye on you and sus 200 pesos, vibes of fraud. I don't live in a palace. I don't live in a palace. Fuck your money and our fathers. Look you sideways if your power. I'm a criminal. Done for us, yeah, we're dummies in a theater. Let a dog starve and everything will look like dinner. I do what the fuck I want. And I do what the fuck I want. Yeah, you made a monster. I'm not in your jurisdiction. I'm a criminal.
Supplies dropped from the Feels like the old man is gonna die this time. Feels like the old man is gonna die.
Maria. the wind and rain. Let's go see the wall again. Marching through the wind and rain. Let's go see the wall again. Stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop. Don't make me stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop. Don't make me stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop. Don't make me stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop.
Pedro Show. We started that chunk of music out with The Shit from New Clone Incorporated. Then Grex, we had Carl on the show a couple episodes. Criminal, this is that tune he was talking about. Very heavy. Home and Garden, that's Tony Bobody and Scott Krause Side Proj from old days. But something more recent with, I think Scott's son is singing, Big Winner. Which we need to put out some of these fires, right? Cal Portoroz with Port Maria from Slovenia. The Hawk from Iowa City with 1017. And finally, Shake the Hand. Maybe not these days. New Clone Incorporated. Jim.
Yo.
When did you make the change? How long did New Ronnie's end up lasting?
Okay, so that started about 2005. And maybe till about 2009 or 10, I moved out here with my then, I moved from Philly to San Francisco, and the plan was originally that I was going to move here, and then two other guys, Mike and Kyle were going to move out of here. And so that was like 2009 or 2010. And they eventually, they didn't move out here, but I kept it going. And in 2012, we had Saddle Up that came out. That was the last record. It took a few years and Load put it out, but it took a while. But it was pretty much just me on, you know, at that point, even though it started off as a living room, you know, project as my own. And I think it was kind of okay to just keep going with it and just appropriate this new part, but change it into Clone. Cause we had utilized an idea during the Gollum EP to have characters Clone, Gnome, Drone, and Clone, and kind of an offshoot of like a Wu-Tang thing, but, you know, not as apparent, and just the Clone stuck, and I just kind of rolled with it because I just don't like band names, and I just thought it was funny that it was FNU, First Name Unknown, Clone, and incorporated, and just kind of a play on technology creeping into our lives, and yada yada.
So you're a band man alone in the city. Do you start doing gigs as new Clone Inc., one man gigs?
No. What happened was, out here, we did a tour off of Saddle Up after Load put it out, and Mike was going to fly out and do it, but he couldn't do it, and not available at the time, so I got two other dudes to do it and to support the record because it came out on Load. And so it was still Ronnie's, but at that point we stopped. And then I was playing in another band called Pours, and I was really not too happy about getting stuff, how we were getting stuff done. And I get frustrated, and everyone, Philly's different from Bay Area in terms of getting stuff done. I just felt like I was more productive back there, and it was easier to roll with people. Out here, it's seemingly everyone's in three or four different bands, scheduling, you know, it's just super expensive to live here. Everyone, you know, so I was in Pours, and we weren't getting shit done the way I wanted to. So I'd come home and I'm like, I'm just gonna, you know, I got all these ideas because I'm always working on stuff. I'm always writing. And I just decided to put a record together, and I ended up putting that record together, and Pours broke up. But John and I kept going, working on stuff, and that's how we come up with the computer record. So simultaneously, I worked on Binary or Die record, and then John and I worked on the computer record, and I would just get up in the morning at 5:36, work my carrier job I had at that time, a shift or sometimes two shifts, and just work until 10 o'clock at night, you know, just doing art stuff and music stuff about for 2 or 3 years straight. And after I got done, that's the result of that was Binary or Die record, and also Computer's first record called Internet. And I published a photo book at that time doing street photography. So it was a really productive, busy year, and there was no shows. But once Binary or Die came out, Ned, who's in CCR Head Cleaner, him and a friend of mine, Haley, we decided to get the version of the Saddle Up tour that we had back together and help me support the Binary Die record when it came out. So that morphed into a band, Clone Incorporated, and that's been going on since 2017 when the record came out. Of course, everything's effed up now, so, you know, we're on hiatus, but at first we had Ned on guitar, Haley, who does a project called Mom. People might have heard of Mom. And Kyle on bass, my friend Kyle. And Chris Woodhouse was doing drums, but he moved out to Iowa. And Chris is known for FM Knives, Karate Party, The Mayors. He did work on with John Dwyer with the OCs, recorded stuff with him and Tysical. So I was bummed when he left. I thought I really gelled well with him. But there's another drummer that came along, and Chris Woodhouse was all, that's the younger version of me. You should take him and, you know, utilize.
What's his name?
His talents. Patrick Shelley.
Okay, no, Patrick Shelley.
He's in SAC right now. He's back up in Sacramento. But
SAC town.
We're He's in Sacktown. And Chris Woodhouse is from Sacktown, too. I mean, my
roots
are from Sac.
Same family. Sorry? Name. Shelly. Same name as Steve Shelley, Pete Shelley. Buzzcocks, Sonic Youth. Look,
maybe they're related, but I doubt it. So,
no, I know Pete Shelley.
Go ahead.
Pete Shelley took his name from the poet. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 12th, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Jim. Hold tight for hour three. September 12th, 2020. It's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Thank you. the uranium.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with that project Jim was telling you guys about, Computer. You know, he don't like band names, so he made some music with a pewter. He called it Pewter. And this tune was Space Funk. Jim says it's long, but I mean, but John Coltrane once asked Miles Davis, "Miles, how do I stop playing?" And Miles said, "Well, you take the motherfucking mouthpiece out of your motherfucking mouth." Yeah. Crane after that with Techno Stomp. Well, it's in the Quincy Troupe book. You know, Miles made a lot of shit up. Who knows? Ascension or whatever. Side A from Moldom and the Baltimore Band. Some wild stuff out of Baltimore. And finally, New Clone Inc. with Stupid People Hate the Fucking World. Tell me about the first few Clone Inc. gig.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Where was that? Oh, my God.
It wasn't at a muscle place, was it?
Say again?
It wasn't at a muscle place like the new rock.
Yeah, this was in... this. I think it was at the Hemlock.
Ah, I know that place. Where the streets are named after trees.
Yeah.
Near Polk.
Was the Hemlock.
Yeah, near
Polk. We were really bummed when that went down last couple years ago. But, yeah. I think it was the first show.
How'd it go?
Went great. I think it was like their first or second show. We played with Fee Time, if you know who Fee Time is, from Australia. That was exciting. I don't know. We went on tour. We went down to L.A.
Where'd you play down here?
We did We did San Diego, then we did Long Beach, and then we came back up. So there's only like one tour.
Where did you play in SoCal?
Hoping to do another tour, but you know, touring's kind of here or there sometimes. I like it, but sometimes I don't give a shit about it.
Where did you play in SoCal?
We played at this bowling alley in L.A. with the Lamps and Musk. Band I'm in now, but I wasn't in the band at that time.
And where in Long Beach?
Say again?
Where in Long Beach?
4th Street. There's a guy named Jim.
Sure, sure. Fourth Street. Wine. It's called 4th Street Fine.
He rules.
Jim, he's good. Good cat.
Sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a wine bar.
Yeah, it's kind of a wine bar. Yeah, we played there. He was great. And we played in San Diego. I can't remember where he played, but at that show in San Diego, it was funny because Chris Woodhouse had just come down from having the flu from before we left, and he was finally feeling better. And then we were excited. We thought, you know, there's going to be at least a decent amount of people, but no one showed up. It was like 4 people. And I feel like that was the best show I ever. I was so pissed off. And I was excited to play, and Chris was feeling better. I think that was like the best show I ever played in my life to like 4 people.
Yeah,
because in San Diego, if there's another show off the street or down over on the other side of town, forget it. And I think it was not the King Brothers.
Weezer.
There's the Japanese band where the guys comb their hair all the time. Oh fuck!
I don't know, but we call them.
What is it?
We call
them. I know what it is. Hold on. But they were playing up the street, and everyone was at that show. So, and then we played San Luis Obispo. We played there too at a house show, and that was fun.
Yeah, that's about 100 miles north of Santa Barbara. We call them kind of gigs character builders.
What's that?
Where there's a lot of reverb. Not big attendance.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that joke flew over my head. I'm like,
sorry about that.
I remember, and there was a sound guy who was, he is, you know, I don't want to talk shit, but is the typical stereotype sound dude who's just like, oh, we got to deal with this guy tonight. and he's just like leaving for 15 minutes, coming back.
Yeah.
Just all like, like he was on meth or speed or some shit. And it was just so hard to deal with. And I was that was why I was so pissed dealing with him, because I was like holding back. I was being polite as possible. And I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with this fucking dude. And as soon as we were playing, you know, as soon as we got on, started playing, it erupted on fire. And I remember my friend Chris, who plays guitar in Musk, get outside. He's like, dude, what the fuck, dude? And I was like, the best I've ever seen you guys. I was like, I don't know. It's like the best show I ever played in my life. I'm just so, you know, like, fuck it, 4 people here, let's go, let's do it, reverb.
You know what a farmer would tell you? If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
There you go.
I want to play Wild Signal in the Flat Screen Blues.
Delta, Theta, Gamma, Call, Click, Press, Surf, Move, Download. Predictive behavior complete. Oh, the great AI in the sky. Post aesthetic front office says, we were all implicit in the lie. Who is chopping down the tree of life? The sky is falling. Little Chicken is right. Alpha, Beta, Delta, Beta, Gamma.
Double Y M R brings hands. Inside the Flash Green Leaf Lab, the black sunsets of the twilight is now true. Two-dimensional glass cream illusion.
Delta, Theta, Gamma. Alpha, Beta, Delta, Theta, Gamma. Ten slogans, five minds, crushed consciousness, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, out of body, out of mind, willing to forget, feel no feelings, all the senses are competing. Angels, the Federation of Clouds, the dictator of illusion wins, wins eyes, one for yes, two for now, all other dimensions are cut off, wins eyes, one for yes, two for now, while they were all being entertained, wins eyes, one for yes, two for now, and the wow signal came through. The wow signal came through. Alpha, Beta, Delta, Theta, Gamma. Call, click, press, surf, move, download.
And the wow signal came through.
Thank you.
There we go. Live from Pedro Show. Last chunk of music for this edition. New Clone Incorporated with Wow Signal in the Flat Screen Blues. Then we had Zena Perkins, Diane LaBrosse, Joanne Hetu, Danielle Paldry, and Tenko doing Le Broliard. And then finally, New Clone Incorporated with Walk on Water. You know, there was a Creedence Clearwater Revival song called Walking on the Water. And it's got two notable things about that song, Jim. One of
What's
them,
that?
Richard Hell and the Voidoids covered it on their first album, Blank Generation.
Yeah, I didn't put the two together. I mean, I've heard that record
and get
over
this.
The years.
And I asked,
I don't know, that was the CCR cover.
I asked Richard Hell about it. He said it was Bob Quine's idea. And then I found out about the song. It's, you know, Creedence had two brothers, John Fogerty and Tom Fogerty. They're kind of by near you then, but there was East Bay, El Cerrito,
Richmond?
No, up by Albany and Berkeley.
Albany.
Yeah, not as far as Richmond. It's still kind of in the Bay Area, okay?
Yeah, it's El Cerrito.
John Fogerty was a younger brother. He took over his older brother's band. The only Creedence song Tom Fogerty wrote was Walking on the Water. But you wanted to hit me to the story behind Wow Signal and the Flat Screen Blues.
Just how that came about, it was a collab with Michael Reaser, who is the original bassist of Ronnie's. So we're still working on stuff, and we hadn't for a good amount of years, and that was the first song we worked on. We did Cut the Ribbons as well, that earlier song, if you played it, and
yeah,
he's
did.
The one who
I
came
did.
Up with. The whole, just really quick, because I kind of pre-associative and thinking, and it just reminds me of how this came about, of me even talking to you right now. What, maybe about 4 months ago, Mike texted me. He's all, hey, here's this link. You might like it. There's these two guys nerding out talking about a Blue Oyster Cult record with Mike Watt. and I started listening to it. It was just like some Sunday night, lazy Sunday night. And of course, I know you, Minutemen and all that came up, you know, listening to you guys. And I'm like, I was just amazed how excited you were talking in a way where it reminded me of growing up and being so excited about music that it gave you so much happiness and joy and cancels all, you know, I don't know, it just resonated something where it made it innocent again in my mind instead of being jaded about shit. And I was like, wow, this is great. So I listened to the whole thing. Was it a Red and Black record, I think?
It's called Tyranny and Mutation.
I was like, wow. And then you talked about your radio show, which I like how you said it's a radio show. It's not a podcast.
I won't use that word.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, man, this is great. I love his attitude about that. So I was like, oh, let me look it up. So I looked it up, what you had. And 2 weeks before that, you had Evan on, Evan Lipson.
That's
Shout
right.
Shout out to Evan.
He's the connect.
So Mike Reaser, who's the bassist from Ronnie's, sends me a link about you on a show, two guys nerding out about the Blue Oyster Cult record. And then I look up and it's Evan's on there that you interviewed. And I texted Evan, you know, like after I did right away, I was like, dude, I didn't know you were on Mike Watt's show. He's like, yeah, it's great. Blah, blah, blah. You know, he's a great dude to talk to and everything. And he's like, hey, you want to get on it? Get on there. And, you know, like, you know, he asked me to, if he had anyone in mind. And he's like, I wasn't even going to mention Fnu to him, but I thought that would freak him out. He says, but and then 2 weeks I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, and just kind of nixed it off. And then 2 weeks later, Evan writes me back. He's like, you're on. So that goes back to Mike Reaser, who sent me the original link. Because if he didn't send me that link and me listening to you talk about the Blue Oyster Cult record, and then me knowing that you talked to Evan, that would have never happened. So the Wow Signal and the Flat Screen Blues started off at Binary Dive. It was already out there and done with, and I was kind of kicking some new stuff around. And Mike had shown some interest on wanting to, you know, work on a new song, because we hadn't worked on any songs in about like 10 years. And so he sent me some, he's like, yeah, I'll send some ideas. It probably suck, but whatever. Let's get the, you know, wheels greased and see what we can do with it. He sends over just this random kind of track with some weird accordion and some slide guitar. He's like, see what you can do with it. And in the meantime, I passed him an audio collage tape of, from time to time I work on just cut up collage tapes. It could be like shortwave radio or just ad hoc anything under the umbrella in terms of sound or audio. So I had this kind of cheesy, kind of like futuristic sci-fi dystopian kind of thing going on about technology. And I just, for some reason, I set up my computer and played the bot voice with the words that I wrote and recorded it. Then I send the tape to Mike, and it might have been like 2 minutes worth of spoken word bot shit sounding. And then he cut it up and rearranged the words and sent it back to me. And then I put it over top his track and then put synth and kind of MIDI type of weird kind of ambient sounds over top of it. And well, signals from 1976, I think, that a far out distance signal came out from somewhere. And that's where it was called the well signal.
Whoa.
From... Yeah.
That's wild. Jim, where can people find you on the internet?
There's Facebook, there's FNU R clone. You can, there's Instagram, Jim Val, JIMVEIL at Instagram. And then, yeah, that's it. There's not really much of a, you know, big splash on the internet. Bandcamp stuff, but I don't, whatever about Bandcamp. I'm just not into it as much.
No? Why?
I don't know. You know what it is?
You like Fake Look better than Bandcamp?
I want to go back to MySpace.
Okay.
I miss MySpace. MySpace was rad because it fucking like... there's people I've met on MySpace through the music community and set up tours through MySpace that I'm still friends with today.
Yeah.
That, like, long-lasting, lifelong friendships. Like, John, my friend Kyle, my friend Cade, bunch of people, you know, like, whether we're playing music now or not. Like, but at the time, it was so easy. It was like the DIY 80s scene where, you know, you were getting dialers for phones to set up tours because you didn't have the money to put in the payphone to call all these people.
You know about the captain? The Captain Crunch whistle.
The Hertz. It was the 462 Hertz or 520 Hertz. We're freaking now. You want to go back to talking about Fjord and Eris and Church of the Subgenius?
I would love to. Principia Discordia, but we're out of time. It's been really big honor for me to have you. When you get the new fucking new Clone Incorporated record out, will you come back on the show and talk about it?
Absolutely. Should I text message? Should I message you, let you know?
You got my email address. I've had it since early 90s.
Got it.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Mike. I don't know how to talk. I feel like an idiot. But
you're great. Don't worry about talking. And you also do some great talking through your music. I love it. Keep on keeping on, please, Jim. People,
you got it.
It's been the September 12th, 2020 edition of Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.